And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
It was 1776 when the founders signed the writ of independence from the Brits. It was revolution.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Republic News Radio 101. We the people, hosting a republic for the United States of America, everybody. Come home to your republic. Go to the republicfortheunitedstates.com, everybody, and come aboard. Mr. President, welcome once again.
Thank you, Gator. We're privileged to be here with you, Gator.
Well, now, if the honor is mine, Mr. President, you know that.
Joining us, we have a voice from the past. A little bit later on, he's going to be, he's here on the board already, but he's going to join us a little bit later. You remember R.D. Peterson?
Yes,
he's going to be
my great brother,
about,
R.D. Peterson. Yes,
yes,
he and I had a discussion last week about what he's doing in his life. He's a great veteran and everything else. God is with him, obviously, but it's always great to hear from R.D. Peterson, an amazing author. Mr. President, I want to start off the show with something, sir.
Go ahead, go ahead.
You know, despite what's going on in our country, when we watch President Trump in his rallies, right, Mr. President, Geiger, we see it's like a rock show. Think about that, everybody. It's like a rock show. Well, I sent a message out to Washington and President Trump today, said, Mr. President, well, how come we don't, despite the rallies, let's make it a rock show. Let's make it a rock show for MAGA, for patriots around the world. Where we go one, we go all. Let's bring in great artists around our country, and let's spread it around the entire country. I haven't got a reply, Mr. President, but you know I'm already involved with Rock Ribs and Ridges 2019, 10th year anniversary, and we got about a month, and we're going to be there with some of the greatest rock and roll legends in the world. And what a great concept. President Trump, he's a businessman. We all know that. But, my goodness, think about it. Everywhere he goes, it's already a rock concert. Yeah. You double up on that. Forget about it. It'll be like Woodstock everywhere President Trump goes. So, this is what our country needs. Bringing people together, united, not divided. And we're seeing it each and every day now. It's a matter of time, and this is just a great, great way for our country really to come together as well and keep fighting for our country like all us, all you great patriots everywhere. It's happening, everybody. It's happening. So I leave it at that, Mr. President. Thank you for the intro this evening. Welcome aboard, everybody.
Hey, you never know. President Trump may decide to show up at the concert, right?
You know what? I invited him to it as well, but you never know.
Well, Gator, I wanted to continue talking a little bit about some of the topics I was speaking about last week, and I was moved to write a paper on what I call deep state Darwinism. I'm going to read this paper to the people. The deep state has forced a faith-based religion by the name of Darwinism to be preached in our school systems. The messianic figure of Darwinism is none other than Charles Darwin, who espoused this theory that we should have faith in a so-called, quote-unquote, missing link. Its doctrine of survival of the fittest has led mankind down a very destructive path. Take World War II, for instance, and the Nazi belief in eugenics that resulted in the death of millions in concentration camps. This religion has proven to be a very destructive force. America has a choice. Do we want to continue down this path of destruction? If we do, all of our liberties will continue to be eroded away in the name of the deep state God of tolerance. we are taught to uphold, quote-unquote, tolerance at all costs, even at the cost of the safeguards that our forefathers erected in order to protect civil liberty. In other words, even if it costs us to surrender what it means to be America. Americans have tolerated the destruction of our country from within for far too long. It is apparent to millions that this is leading us swiftly down a path of destruction. Unless we grow up and deal with the issues at hand, the majority of us will end up in concentration camps, thus repeating the history of World War II. The Marxism socialist theology being taught to our children always leads down the same road, dictatorship, which in turn results in the death of millions. I propose a better way, the way of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that we were guaranteed to us by our Constitution by means of a Republican form of governance. Our forefathers ensured that liberty and morality would be taught in every school system of every state who joined the Union of States via the Northwest Ordinance. That meant that the Bible, the law form of the Republic, would be taught in every school in the nation, and that prayers to a living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, would ascend to heaven from children in American schools. Let us return to the foundation laid by our forefathers. Let us defang the God of tolerance and return to serving the one true and living God, the God of the Bible. As Americans, that has always been the choice set before us. And then I quote Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Thus ends the reading. Gene Hertler, would you like to add a little bit more to what I've said on the deep state Darwinism?
Yes, sir. I appreciate the opportunity to speak into that. That's a lovely piece. It's right on. We've come to understand in our studies how the Republican form of government, and we're not talking party, we're talking about that phrase in the Constitution in Article 4, Section 4, where we're guaranteed a Republican form of government. And that means that we have a special type of government. It's representative. We, the people, send representatives in our place to legislate and enact laws on our behalf. And we've established through our radio program history, our truthful history on the formation of America, beginning with the Pilgrims and the Puritans, going forward to our founding fathers, that our roots are in Christianity, in the Holy Bible, the Word of God, and that eight-word buzz phrase in the Declaration of Independence, the laws of nature and of nature's God, where our founding fathers understood precisely what that meant as they studied Sir William Blackstone and John Locke. That meant the two systems of God's law, the laws of nature being the will of the Creator and how the universe operates, and then the other system of law being the divine revealed Word of God. Our founding fathers committed in that birth certificate, which is also a covenant with Almighty God, that they would follow God's law and our systems of law in the American Republic. And what happened, we lost that in the Civil War era. We've gone through that, the history of that, and we've also gone through the Reconstruction era that began in the Civil War era, and then into the Gilded Age, how the cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men pushed aside the American Republic into dormancy. They couldn't destroy it because it's organic, but they secreted their corporate democracy. And democracy, what our founding fathers hated, Dr. Benjamin Rush said, democracy is the devil's own government. And what they did is they replaced Almighty Creator God with Darwin's thesis of evolution. We've gone through how they did it in law with Christopher Columbus Langdill, who became the dean of Harvard Law School in 1870. He brought his case method in, and then it spread throughout the other institutions, into education, into every institution you can think of, displacing Almighty God and putting in the science of evolution, displacing the Creator. It's an abomination what was done. So I see where we are today. We're running a parallel to the Civil War era. And is it okay if I go down that avenue, President Geiger?
Yes, you can. Do you want to hold off until after Roger Peterson, and we'll continue along those lines? Or
sure. And we always do good when we open in prayer too, sir. So I yield the floor.
All right. Gator, we're going to go to Pastor Lewis Bland. Pastor Lewis Bland is with us. We're going to ask him to start us off with maybe a kind word and a prayer.
Good evening to everyone, and God bless you all. As always, it's a joy and privilege to be with you, my sisters and brothers. I want to encourage us all, because we, as men and women of God, will never leave God out of anything. We'll never leave him out of our lives, out of our decisions. Everything we do it as unto the Lord. And it's a joy to be with men and women that have that mindset. So I want to encourage every one of us to keep God first in our lives. If we keep God first in our lives, then all things will work together for our good. And with that, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come today, Lord, thanking you for this opportunity that we have, this platform that we have to talk to your people and get information out that they need in order for them to live and to be all they can be for your kingdom, for your glory. As always, Lord, we lift up our government to you. We lift up our president to you as well, that he needs you on a daily basis to help him to continue to be strong, continue to help him to be encouraged in spite of everything that's going on. Everyone to the right is trying to get into his personal life and trying to steer him in the wrong direction. But Lord, we pray that you will keep him focused on the job at hand. We pray, Lord, that you would bless and keep him and his families safe and secure in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that those right now, Father God, that usually listen to us on Tuesdays, that's going through the storms and tornadoes and losing their homes that they have, we lift them up to you even right now, that you would encourage them, that you would help them, Lord, to get the things that they need. But we pray, Lord, your blessings upon them in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord, we ask that you will continue to send those people that have a heart for you in the name of Jesus to do the work that you have for us, for there's work to be done in the name of Jesus. And we will praise your name forevermore. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Great Pastor Bland. Thank you for those great words, sir.
Bless you, sir.
Well, David Broadhurst, Gator, we've got R.D. Peterson with us, and he's going to tell us a little bit about what he's doing for veterans.
Well, you know, Mr. President, now we're in trouble. You know that, right? A good trouble, everybody. You know, R.D. Peterson is an amazing author. He's a great veteran. R.D., welcome aboard, brother. It's great to hear from you tonight.
I thank everybody for helping me here on this call tonight. I have been, for the last year, working diligently to try to accomplish something in my wife's name since she passed away this last year, and it's been kind of tough. I thought that I'd try to make her proud of me by doing something that I've been working towards ever since she passed away on December 18th, 2017. Now almost totally ready to open the doors and have it all come to fruition. I have now got my house renovated, and it is now ready for what I call Donna's Place. I'm going to open up the house as a boarding house for homeless and disabled veterans. I have the only house in the entire county of Washington County, Maine, that offers this. And I think it's kind of a shame that veterans who desperately need help and housing can't get it. So I've stepped to the forefront to make sure that it can be done. And I know that my wife would be very proud of me for doing so. And I'm trying my best to make her proud of me. It's going to be quite an event when I get it done, because it's going to be on the news. It's going to be on the television. I already have things in place for that. I have some construction companies that are going to be talking with right now and negotiating for materials and supplies. I have some organizations that said that they would be more than willing to help out. And it's going to be a labor of love for me, and I can't wait to get it done. I'm going to call it Donna's Place. I'm going to erect a flag on the front lawn. It's going to be in a replica well, a little short replica brick and mortar well. Inside the well is going to be some floodlights. And I'm going to put a flag in the center of the well so that the lights will shine on it night and day. I've also talked with Wreaths Across America. I don't know if you know who they are, but every year they travel to Arlington National Cemetery to lay wreaths on all the graves at Arlington National Cemetery. And this past year they traveled to Normandy, and they put flags on all the graves in Normandy. They are quite a organization. They're putting together right now something that's been declared as a national cemetery for veterans. Every veteran in the cemetery shall have a tree that, if they so desire to be there to be interned, they will have a tree with dog tags on it, their own dog tags, and there will be a ribbon on every tree in the cemetery. It goes for miles. It's a huge tract of land going to be dedicated totally for veterans. And they have a museum there, of which they have their own version of the wall, and I'm on the wall there, kind of proud of that. They said that when they get done, they're going to also erect a monument there. It's going to be the largest monument in the United States. It's going to be very, very big, and it's going to encompass a large amount of space. It's going to be so large that I don't know if anyone here knows of the state of Maine, but it's going to be erected and put in Columbia Falls, Maine, and it will be so tall that you can see Bar Harbor, which is probably about 60 miles from there, and you can see Bar Harbor from the top of it after it's constructed. It's been quite a long time to try to get all this done, but I'm really going to enjoy it when it's finished. If anybody knows of anyone that would be willing to help me in my effort, I could truly use the help, because this has cost me a lot of money. It's already cost me over $60,000 now. For me, that's a lot of money. For some people, it's not, but for me, it's quite a bit of money. So I would treasure any help I could get from people who would be willing to help me in my effort on this. And with that, I'd like to open it up for any questions or anything that anybody would want to ask me about it.
Roger, how do people contact you that want to help?
They can contact me by email. They can contact me by phone. They can email would be rdpeterson1954@gmail.com. Or they could contact me on by phone at area code 207-214-5655. That's 207-214-5655. Or they could contact me at the Maine Veterans Project. That's a nonprofit established here in Maine. The guy that runs the show there told me that he would be very forthcoming in helping me on what I needed to get done to do this. He's helped out literally thousands of veterans. And he's a very, very good guy. I really, really like him a lot. He's been very forthcoming in helping me in what I need to get done to do this. And you have no idea how much I appreciate what he's done for me. So if anybody would be willing to help me, I'm all ears. And if anybody thinks that they know somebody or an organization that'd be more than willing to help, I'd be very appreciative of that.
Thank you, Roger. Thank you for being here with us on the show today. And we certainly hope that you get a lot of response across the country and people wanting to help you.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much, President Geiger.
What I wanted to make a point with our Brother Peterson is this. What he's planning to do is, since his wife has passed and gone to the heavens, he wants to take his home and he wants to welcome veterans in need to his home. That's right. You know, he's a veteran himself, a disabled veteran, but he wants to open his home to others. And that, to me, is a great cause. I would do the same if I could, Mr. President. You know, there's times you wish you were a total wealthy, wealthy man. A lot of people ask me, Gator, what would you do if you were a multi-billionaire or whatever it is? And I said, quite frankly, I'd go out there and help veterans. I'd honor and support those veterans around our country, help them, get them, you know, what they need, and sponsor a great patriotic conscience around our country and bring people together. Bring them back to the Republic for the United States of America. Amen. I yield, Mr. President.
Amen. And thank you again, Roger, for being here with us. Let's go now to Jean Hertler and let her finish up her thoughts. She was talking about how the deep state, as we refer to it, went down the path of destruction and destroying this country from within. Jean, can you continue along those lines for a while?
Yes, sir, I sure can. I'd like to say I'm so encouraged by R.D. Peterson's heart for our veterans. We've watched through the years and through the administrations where our veterans were not treated right. They have not been cared for. They've been mistreated after going off to all these various wars in different countries in the Middle East and everywhere to come home with the Gulf War disease and all these other diseases and problems, and they've not been cared for. My heart would weep over it. And I want to say that all the reports that I've read through the years as I've gone through our history, I came across the federal report known as the START report. That's an acronym meaning Study on Terrorism and Responses to Terrorism. And that report was developed primarily through the Obama administration, where they were working. You had the Department of Homeland Security and also the Southern Poverty Law Center. We know about them putting hate labels on people, hate crimes on people. Well, they worked together in that administration, came up with this report where they were putting labels on the American people, and included in there were, if you support the Bible, believe in the Bible, you were given a hate crime label, a domestic terrorist, anti-government. If you questioned the federal government, you were labeled. If you came against abortion, you were labeled. If you were a returning veteran from a foreign war, you were labeled as a domestic terrorist. Can you believe that? And so you can see what happened to our veterans. Many were homeless, not taken care of. They couldn't get into the Veterans Administration for medical health care. It brings me to tears to see and to think of what happened to them. And then now with this current administration, with President Trump, he's turned that around. He's cleaned out the Veterans Administration. Our veterans are getting help finally. And then to see R.D. Peterson, who has a love for our men and women that have gone out there pledging their lives, pledging an oath to the Constitution, to the flag, Old Glory, going off what they believe was right, and supporting them. Being on social media, I see calls fairly frequently on Twitter notices put out where there's veterans that have died and they don't have family to come to their funerals. And we circulate notices out there that we need people in that particular state to show up. And you know what they do? The American people show up for our veterans. The American people support our country, our nation, our president. And with that, I want to go down and say, yesterday, President Trump was in Pennsylvania, and you don't see it on the mainstream news media, but you'll see it on social media. You'll see it on Twitter. You'll see it on Facebook, where an American citizen will take video clips of the rallies. And again, in Pennsylvania, just like we've seen in all the other states, when he shows up, thousands upon thousands of people that show up for these rallies, they can't even fit in the conference hall that they have. So they'll stand outside going for miles of people just standing there to support Make America Great Again and the president who's working to do that. With that, I want to say those that come up against this president, President Trump, who has laid his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor, and that of his family, to support the Constitution and to once again make America great again, to return the federal government to the American people like he promised he would do in his inaugural speech. That would be the American Republic. For anyone to come up against him, we have to question who they are and what their scheme is. And that's where I wanted to go this evening, is their behavior. These Congress people, these Democrats, their behavior is obvious and unmistakable as a scheme to overthrow the president of the government of the United States. And they're calling for measures that violate the law. And I'm going to quote to you Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land. This is it. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion and on application of the legislature or of the executive when the legislature cannot be convened against domestic violence. And this is what I want to say. We're seeing a parallel of what happened leading up to the Civil War in the 1860s of the Congress people, the Democrats against the Republicans, the Democrats that wanted to hold dear their slavery of a people, and the Republicans that wanted to end it. They saw it as unethical. They saw it as unbiblical. They saw it going against the laws of nature and of nature's God. That's what we're looking at right now. And what these Democrat congressmen are calling for in coming up against the sitting president of the United States, even of this particular government that is a corporate democracy, he is working to return the corporate democracy to the American Republic. And for them to call out that they want his tax paperwork, which goes against the law, that's citing a domestic violence. It's running parallel with insurrection. An insurrection is a rising against civil or political authority. It's coming against the execution of a particular law. And they're doing this. They're doing it in public. They're demanding it. They're demanding the president's personal tax paperwork going against the law that he does not have to make public. They should put their tax paperwork out in public. And I'll tell you what. For them to have an annual salary of around $170,000 a year, but while they're in office, they become millionaires, we'd like to see their tax paperwork to see where they got that money from, rather than coming up against the sitting president who started off with $6 or $7 billion in his portfolio, and he's now $1 billion less since he's taken office. He takes a paycheck, but he donates the paycheck. So in essence, he's working for free because he wants to do things right. He's not doing it for money. He's working for the people. Tell you what, these Democrat Congress people, they're flaming the fires and they're tooting their horns on the airwaves with the mainstream news media. And they're actually inciting civil unrest and adding to the drama where people are discussing
I see it out in social media. If we're actually going to have a civil war, in other words, an outright revolution, we're looking at sedition. That's a faction of rebellious congressmen rising in opposition to the law and the administration of the law. They're causing a disturbance of the public peace with what they're doing with mainstream news media. We're looking at this as an open resistance to obeying the law, as a rebellion to the government. Now, in the Civil War days, that was another terminology besides Civil War, was also the Great Rebellion. So we're looking at rebellion here to the government, because they are openly renouncing the authority of the government, which they owe an allegiance to. And in this case, it targets the sitting president of the United States. There is no such law of impeaching the president just because you don't like him. And as the executive, the president, he has a constitutional duty to protect the state and the people from domestic violence and insurrection. And we support President Trump, and we thank him for everything he's doing to turn the government back over to the American people. So with that, President Geiger, I just spoke my heart, and I yield the floor, sir.
Well, I don't think any of us can top that, Gene.
Amen.
Gator, what do you say about it?
Absolutely. Gene Hertler is an amazing patriot to our country, a great writer, a philosopher, a great woman. These are the type of folks that we need leading our country, not those that are trying to destroy it, as we see. Gene, thank you. This is what our country needs, is people like you, Gene, and God bless you. I know you're a warrior out there in social media. I am the same in a different way. You know that, but sister, God is with you, and God's telling you to get this information out there to the people, you know?
Yes.
And you're doing an amazing job. Matter of fact, you should be working for the Trump administration.
Thank you, Gator. I'm standing right next to you. I'm just a common American, truly. I'm just a common, passionate patriot that loves God and country. And we need to get this ship of state back on course. General Flynn, when he spoke to the people, and he's been persecuted for working to save our country, he called on the common American people to be digital soldiers, meaning us people, we the people, because we've got liars, evangelists of Satan out in the mainstream news media. He said, it's up to you. You get the truth out there. So, Gator, you and I are digital soldiers out there. We're standing up to speak truth, because the truth has to go forth. We get persecuted, but so what? We have a conviction to stand for righteousness before God, and we're doing it, brother. So thank you for that.
You know, Gene, I've often said out there in social media, you know, you got a lot of them out there like, yeah, I got, you know, a million listeners or this or that. No, we're quality, not quantity here. We're true patriots with our republic for the United States of America. And we put it out there. I put it out there. You do. Everybody does. It's those that want to come home to their republic, the true form of government. And it's not easy, because so many people are used to what's been going on for so many years in our lives. And now, people are rising up. We, the people. Everybody's rising up now, Gene. And it's so important for the great ones like yourself. You're an amazing writer, and you have this knowledge. You're so gifted. You know, you're a leader, Gene. You know, I don't know what you think, but you know what? You should be right there in the Oval Office with the President of the United States. Quite honestly, you should be giving classes to the entire Congress and the Senate, because they're just trying to destroy this country. And let me tell you something, everyone. We need to thank God that we have President Trump, that he has a major battle. He's battling against our own government to save we the people. My goodness. I've always said to everyone is this, and you all know, justice. Justice must be served. If it's not served, then We don't have a country, everyone. Plain and simple. It's been going on for a long time. They have to get justice served now. It's just a matter of time. And the more patriots like ourselves that come together, get it out there, the bigger the battle will be won. I just commend you, all of you. You guys have, you've all changed my life. You're just amazing leaders. Everyone with the Republic for the United States of America. God bless you all. I yield.
Thank you, Gator. Thank you, Gene. It's time for us to go to Dean Henning. Dean, will you tell the American people how they can get involved with their Republic? And also, when you get done, just go ahead and introduce David Hertler. He's going to be our next speaker.
Thank you, Mr. President. Gator, thank you for hosting this show. R.D. Peterson, I pray for you and your venture with helping the American veterans. Very honored and humbled to hear you opening up your home for the people that put it all on the line for all of us, we the people. Pastor Bland, thank you for your prayers. Gene, bravo. Gene, you're an awesome woman. You're an awesome patriot. And America, we the people, go to reinhabited.com. Take a look at Reinhabited Republic for the United States of America, Volume 1, America's Truthful History, written by Gene Hertler and her husband, David Hertler. They also written Reinhabited Republic for the United States of America, Volume 2, The Story of the Reinhabitation, written by Gene and Dave Hertler. Again, those books can be found at reinhabited.com. Also, Gene wrote another book. It's James Timothy Turner, an American President and a Political Prisoner, The Legal Brief and Appeal of the Courts of Heaven, again, written by Gene Hertler. She's a scribe of the nation in testimony of America's truthful history. Again, go to www.reinhabited.com. You can order those books. And America, our founding fathers left us a wonderful document. It's called the Constitution of the United States of America. Also, the Declaration of Independence is in there also. And the Holy Bible was used for that document. That's the law form. This is a biblical republic that our founding fathers left us to protect. And also you can go to republicforunitedstates.com and you can take a look at what's going on in the national website. You can go to the Where Do I Begin tab and you can start there. There's many things to read. Go to interim records. Take a look at the congressional record. Take a look at what the Congress has done, your Republic Congress, that has been standing lawfully and peacefully here for we the people since 2010. And read the Declaration of Sovereign Intent, the Proclamation of Claim of Interest. It's amazing, America. The title's being held for you. These seats are being held for the American people when you are ready to step up and step in to peacefully and lawfully into this great republic of America. David Hertler, you have the floor, sir.
Governor Henning, thank you so much. I appreciate it. This is a great program tonight. The advertising you just did was good. People get this down. This is all about joining the Republic. I want to just kind of introduce to you tonight, we're going back to the Second Great Awakening. America, I salute you. If you remember Charles Finney, I talk about Charles Finney off and on. He said this, and this is in the 1800s. He says, if there is decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. He said, if the public press lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. He also said that if the church is degenerate worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. And he says, if the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If you go to whylibertymatters.com, you'll find Marlene McMillan, Dr. Marlene McMillan, and she wrote a book called Mountains of Deceit. I'm going to jump into it. We'll go into it a little bit. And Lord willing, I might be able to come back next week and share some more on it. But I start off, and she starts off by saying, how the dialectic process has infected our culture. The dialectic process is the process by which one is moved from a belief in absolute truth, to relativism. Let me say it again. The process by which one is moved from a belief in absolute truth to relativism. Immigrants and foreign exchange students are shocked and very surprised at our culture when they come over here. The distasteful sitcoms and the adult cartoons and the lack of moral discernment have broken down the resistance of the once strong Christian fiber in our nation. I think you can agree with me on that. And seeing ourselves powerless, we acquiesce to the spin doctors and progressives who are tireless in their pursuit of a world without the Bible. And Christians and patriots were labeled as terrorists by the government. And our blame for the woes, the elite, is creating a society without Jesus or of the Bible. A utopianism that fails to acknowledge the sin of nature of man is even now embraced by many claiming to be Christians. The influence of Christians has marginalized, and Christians have no right to speak to their culture because of a supposed separation of church and state. Number two, Christians should be ashamed of dialectics. These people, these Luciferians, they come against and they say, yeah, Christians should be ashamed of Christianity itself with its abuses of Christian doctrine, such as the Inquisition or the cross-examination, to bring this straw man argument out in public. And since capitalism has been embraced by many generations of Christians, and since capitalism has been maligned to be the cause of poverty in the world, Christianity is really the problem, they say. And the Bible, it's so archaic, it's old, it's so ancient, and it's an impediment to progress. It's an obstruction to progress. It hinders progress. And it is time for Christians to get out of the way and let the progressives lead. So that's their message. One of the lies of our day is that progress doing away with the Bible's influence because the Bible holds us back. So it's a blame on the Bibles. Our culture has been so infected by the great deception. The God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, you know, Lucifer, okay, he is the God of this world, the God of the age. Okay, so once we all can make sense of the dialectic, let me go back to that scripture. The God of this age that is blinding the minds which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's who he is. That's who Lucifer is. And he has been behind the scenes of all of the players, the militia of the people in Italy, the Freemasons, the Jesuits, and so forth, who have been our enemies. He has been behind the scenes. So going on, once we all can make sense of the dialectic process, remember, the dialectic process, the process by which one is moved from a belief in absolute truth to relativism. So once we go on, we go and make sense of the dialectic, then I believe things will make sense to us and the world will look more clear. So what I'm trying to do is I'm showing you where we're at. I'm going to show you where we're at, the culture where we're at, and I'm going to show you a culture where we were, where the absolutes were relevant, where God's principles, God's word was the culture of that day back in the 1600s and 1700s. Things that before did not make sense will be easy to understand when I go through this. Things that seem mysterious will be plain as day. And your ability to know why people do the things they do and how you should respond will be sharper. So let me call attention to the dialectic process and open your eyes to how the redefinition of words leads to deceit. Now remember this, the dialectic process is something you've never heard before. Okay, this is about moving us, your parents and us and our generation from absolute truth to relativism. You cannot expect to get biblical solution with an unbiblical premise, and you cannot arrive at the biblical premise with an unbiblical definition. The greatest culture progress occurs when biblical principles are widely accepted. And I just want to go back. If we go to the Ivy League, we go to the universities, you know, the Yales and the Harvards today, those people come out with a worldview in education. Their frame of reference is not a biblical worldview, as it once was going way back when they were founded. This is really important because everybody's frame of reference has a foundation of a religious premise. So the bills and the laws that are made in so-called Congress in this democracy, this corporate democracy, comes from people that are educated in these Ivy League universities that have a secular humanism view in their religious premise. They are of Darwinian principle. It's without God. It's without the Constitution. It's without the Declaration. The greatest culture progress occurs when biblical principles widely are accepted. if Christians open their eyes and decide that they care more about the truth than their comfort, things could change quickly. God wrote the law of the fleshly tablet of the heart, and no matter how hard the God haters try to redefine God, change his laws, or ignore him, they cannot escape their consciences. Now, the conscience is the most sacred of all property. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says it like this in 17:5. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. An essential step in the dialectic agenda is for deceit to permeate every area of society. This is why the dialectic process is not complete until there is nowhere to escape from it. Do we have a security system protecting ourselves and our children from the theft of conscience? The theft has already occurred and no alarm was sounded. The burglary is still in progress. No mask, no gun. They came with words, noise, music, constant bombardment and deceit. They sprinkled with enough truth to sound plausible. Conscience bandits work extra hard on children whose spirit is willing, but their flesh is weak. Holy Spirit speaks in a still, quiet voice to those who care to hear. The Holy Spirit defers to louder voices. The Holy Spirit teaches those who desire to be taught by him. Conscience is the most sacred of all property. If you do not guard your conscience, all of your other property is at risk. Without a conscience, you are nothing. Only you can allow another to breach your conscience. Government, bosses, pastors, spouses, parents, or children who dare to breach the conscience of another have crossed a sacred boundary. The dialectic process is so effective that it erodes the conscience subtly and gradually, turning the victim into a willing instrument of their own destruction. We must heed to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Conscience is the most sacred of all property. Is it too late for our culture? Is it too late for you? The more you choose truth, the more you are able to guide others to truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said that no man comes to the Father except through him. Dr. Marlene McMillan said to me on the phone, she said, David, I fear God much more than people. She said, I am called to proclaim liberty to the captives and set them free. That's what she said to me. That's her calling. I go on to say, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Introduce God's government, the republic. Listen. Listen to me, America. You cannot be free governmentally unless you are free spiritually. You cannot be free emotionally unless you are free spiritually. You cannot be free financially unless you are free spiritually. You cannot reach your kingdom purpose, your destiny, unless you preserve your conscience. God says to occupy till he comes. Repentance would change. Repentance from embracing dialectic. Repentance means renouncing our godless definitions and replacing them with God's definitions. So let's just use God's definition this time around. The dialectic process, America, listen to me. I know you've never heard of this. You never knew this happened. That dialectic process is a process by which one is moved from a belief in absolute truth to relativism. The real issue has to do with the attempt at changing God's word and changing the values which brings hope, peace, security, and freedom to a nation. The purpose of the dialectic process is to get a change of belief that results in a change in behavior. I want to call your attention to this process. The steps of the dialectic process involve, write these down and I'm going to conclude. Number one, she would want you to memorize this. Who? Dr. Marlene McMillan. Identify areas of discontent. These are the people, the profs in the universities that are doing this, the teachers in public schools. They're looking at students. They're watching them. They're identifying areas of discontentment, encouraging the question of authority. Who is authority? Could it be their fathers, their family? Okay. getting them to dialogue to the change agents' predetermined consensus, majority of opinion, if you will, general agreement. Number four, acceptance of their views as equal to their own. Relativism. The last one, acceptance of new definitions and attending worldview as normal. Here it is. Everybody's doing it. Agree to disagree. That's God really said. That's God really said. The times have changed. I'm running out of time. You in the pulpit should be doing what I'm doing right now. You should be teaching your congregation. You should have Sunday school classes to teach the dialectic process that has taken us from this absolute truth to relativism. It should be done in Bible studies. Now, you may think what you heard, you got to be kidding me. I just introduced this. I didn't even hardly get out the door with you. I got so much more to share. There's 10 mountains of the sea. I got the general language mountain in front of me. I got the family mountain to my left. There's the law mountain to my right. I can't even touch it right now. You say, oh, it's too big for me. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. You came out of Egypt. Are you still wandering around in the wilderness? When are you going to cross the River Jordan? When are you going to take on the 7 tribes and defeat them, wipe them out? I'm offering to you a new house. I'm offering to you a new land to go on. You know what that land is? You know what that house is? It's the Republic for the United States of America. And you will be able to learn these great truths that you knew nothing about. Nothing. This is what we need, America. You need to come to the Republic. Get a fresh start. Go on a fresh land. Cross the River Jordan. Go into a new house. We need to stand the Republic up. And with that, Mr. President, I yield the floor back to you, sir.
Well said, David Hertler. David Broadhurst closes out, please, sir.
Yes, sir. I want to make a point. Mainstream media today, right? Can you imagine if our great-great brother, David Hertler, and Sister Jean Hertler, were all over mainstream, preaching the great word, the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching the great word for our country, our constitution, the laws of the land, our constitution, everything else, my goodness. I want to thank them personally. Thank you. You're amazing patriots. Matter of fact, everybody here in the Republic for the United States are just amazing patriots. We don't need gazillions of people. I mean, it'd be great, but those that come home to your republic is what's important and understand what it's all about. That's our mission, everybody. Each and every Tuesday night, bringing more and more folks from around our country, telling them to come on home to your republic for the United States of America. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening tonight right here on Republic News Radio 101, We the People. Thank you to the Republic for the United States for giving us the opportunity, believing in us, to host them and be a part of our great, great mission. Our great, great mission, everyone, to help save our entire country. Amen. Good night, everybody. God bless you. God bless your kids. God bless America. Until next time, Gator out.
It was 1776 when the founders signed the writ of independence from the Brits. It was revolution. Now an enemy from within would enslave us all again and deprive us of our rights in the Constitution. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to understand. Restore the Republic. We're losing our freedom in